Bruising Banner Podcast. What up, what up, what up? Welcome to Bruising Banner Podcast. I am your host, Rob G. And with me, as always, is the legendary Brew Crew. What up, fella?
I got water, I got, you know, juice or whatever. I'm like, y'all need twin legs? Matter of fact,
my question to everybody is,
does Delaware have an actual culture?
This is the podcast that we talk about beer, but we also talk about a lot of things that's happening in the world. Politics, movies, anything really that comes to our mind while we're here sampling these brews. Grab a drink and pull up a chair.
Ricky Ross, T-Pain.
About to have a parking lot on smash. Plus I got a 7 with a 4. Got my twin line with a dash.
I'm the biggest boss that you've seen thus far. I'm the biggest boss that you've seen thus far. I'm the biggest boss that you've seen thus far.
Cause it's just another day.
What up, what up, what up? Welcome to Bruising Banter Podcast, where the topic is the rocking and the brew. Well, happy to fuel. I'm your host, Rob G, and with me, as always, the legendary Brew Crew. What's going on, fellas?
Yo. What's up, guys?
Yeah, we are down a man today, so shout out to Yo out there doing his Be More Stomp or Be More Swag.
He likes Be More. You know, that's a nice little quick weekend getaway. I definitely give him his respect on that. That's a good little getaway spot.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's quick and easy right there.
A lot of stuff right at your doorstep, wherever you stay.
Yeah, if you want to venture a little further, you can go in the D.C. area or even outside D.C. I'm at the Baltimore area as well. Got some stuff in like Bowie and
yeah. That is the beauty of being in Delaware, that you can just hit these couple of states, neighboring states, in 2 hour radius or shorter. That's beautiful.
Yeah. Welcome to episode 150 of our Bruising Banter podcast. I'm glad everybody who's watching can listen, see us and say hello, people. And everybody who is listening, what's going on? I said, this is episode 150. So we do have a special guest with us. So we're not going to take too much time. We're just going to get right into it. We want to bring the 2020 WIM Storyteller of the Year, the 2020 Ad Club Rockstar Award winner, the Oprah that you know.
I like it.
The CEO of D-Flash and the host and creator of the Reset Podcast, Laura Mignot, to the podcast.
Hey. Nice.
Welcome.
Nice.
Hi.
How have you been?
Good. You know, we're still in the panini, but whatever.
Right. I like the nicknames people give this.
Yeah, you just call it a panini?
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. It's definitely a panini, man. Like, panini, panorama, paramore, whatever. It's okay.
It's okay. Yeah, everybody's safe.
If COVID was a paramore, it's a terrible one.
It's an evil paramour.
So I wanted to just quickly hop in and just make the connection for our viewers, listeners, and even for my fellow co-hosts or podcast members. Laura and I, we go back to 2019, summer 2019. We both happened to be at friend's wedding in New York. I was friends with the groom. She was good friends with the bride. I sang at the wedding. I was the wedding singer for that engagement. And shortly after, cocktail hour, I guess we were probably in, Laura and I had a brief moment to exchange, family, kind of what we do outside of being there at the event, and learned that we both were fellow podcasters. And so that's how we, begin to just really our exchange. And we have stayed in touch and remained, in connection, since 2019, that summer. And really what triggered me to reach out to her to reconnect was a post she had made on LinkedIn. And I'm just going to read a quick excerpt of it. that said, taking my own advice, it's 2022 and I want more speaking engagements. Please invite me on your podcast platforms, TED Talks, Bespoke, and literally did I answer. So, well,
you
welcome.
Were the first.
Yes, we are the first. We are the first.
Challenge accepted.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
I appreciate the challenge accepted. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Devin. And, you know, yeah, I mean, it's also crazy that, like, that was 2019 because I just saw that Rosie is two.
Two now. Right,
which
your daughter.
Crazy. and I met her exactly once.
Right, right.
Because, you know, pandemic makes people see.
Right, them pandemic babies. Was she pregnant during the wedding?
She was pregnant during the wedding, yeah.
Right. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Pandemic baby.
But yeah, but hi, hey Devin, thank you so much for taking me up on the offer, and fellow Brewing Banter gents, I'm delighted to be here, and, you know, have a chat with y'all about what I'm up to, what you're up to, and obviously have a cocktail at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, which makes me very happy. So it's like
happy.
All right. Like, all right. Well, speaking of that, before we get into it, we always like to know what everybody's drinking, so.
Uh-oh.
Wrong
Uh-oh.
Button.
Wrong.
That's wrong. To- I just want to test out my board.
I haven't heard those
words
in a while.
That's a sound effect,
y'all. It was too far over. My hand went too far.
Okay.
So what are we drinking today? Okay. We always like to start with our guests. So, Laura, what are you drinking today?
So I decided to go a little bit kind of funky. So I took some BII coconut juice and some aviation gin because I am a gin drinker and connoisseur. And if you mix that together, you basically get this really neat, very light, refreshing cocktail. Nice. And a little ice in it. Can't go wrong.
I gotta try that because I've been looking for gin recipes because I got this bottle of gin. I'm like, I don't drink gin. What am I doing?
Don't drink gin. Shame on you. No, I mean, literally, it's my own concoction. Like, I was a couple weeks ago, I was looking for tonic water, and then I had this coconut juice in the fridge, and I was like, "Oh, what do I have it before I start having this?" I'm like, "Oh, this is quite tasty." So it doesn't taste like weird, and it's very, very smooth.
Good.
You can have it at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm not feel like you're a drunkard.
Because every time I say I got gin, people are like, "Oh, well, orange juice." I was like, "Hey, I don't want to do gin and juice. I want to try something different."
No.
So I did have something else. It was I forget what it was called, but it was gin, prosecco, and lime, and cotton candy. Instead of using simple syrup, they said use cotton candy, and they gave it like a pink flavor. That was actually pretty good. We had it during New Year's Eve.
Anything with elderberry, or if you have any hibiscus juice, and some gin. Oh yeah, it's become my go-to spirit in like the last four or five years, and so I've had every concoction. There's a gin bar like 5 minutes from my apartment downtown. So,
oh, nice.
That's definitely a win.
Mm-hmm. So I have swiped some of their recipes.
There you go. All right. Gotta recreate.
All right, Lou, what you drinking on?
Man, I have Left Hand Brewing Company, the White Russian Nitro. I'm not sure if y'all heard that in the background. It's a white stout with coffee and vanilla added. Super smooth and decadent. It is 8.9% alcohol by volume.
Heavy.
20 IBUs, good to go from the can or like a pro in a glass. I am a pro. Here's my glass.
There it is. Look at that. Nice white stout.
Swanky.
Yeah.
What's the ABV? Oh, you said
8.9.
8.9.
This is crazy. This is crazy. Because, first of all, it's very rare you see golden stouts. Right. It tastes like a stout. It look like a pilsner or a lager, but it tastes heavy coffee, vanilla. It tastes like I'm drinking alcoholic coffee. This is wonderful.
This is wonderful.
I can't think of anything better. My goodness.
Yeah, yes. Alcoholic, not Irish, but alcoholic.
Hey,
there's a difference.
No,
but yeah, you would
never
like just looking at this, you would never think this is a stout. But it smells like it's everything about it is a stout except the color. This is awesome.
Nice.
Congratulations again, Left Hand.
Yeah, who's it? Left Hand. Crooked
Hand.
Thank
you. Yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, they did, right?
Yeah, they did.
They have a golden stout.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Dev, what you drinking on?
Devin is drinking on a local Delaware brewing company, Brickworks Brewing and Eats. This is their Hef Off. Which is their Hefeweizen.
That was good.
Yeah, this is their German style wheat beer. coming in at 5.2%. Can you see that? A little writing down there.
Yeah.
This here, Hefoff, is your boss, your local politician, maybe your ex-mother-in-law. Okay. There are probably a number of people you like to say Hefoff to relax. This American wheat has your back. So this here, very golden color here. It did have a bit of head on it. I poured it maybe about 5 minutes ago, so it's now depleted. But this is a delicious pour and refreshing drink for an early afternoon. So pass me another.
Hefe's are right. Shout out to Ron. Good job.
Yes. Ron. Yeah. Good job. Yeah. Good job.
Hey, Rob G.
Yes, sir.
What are you drinking on for episode 150?
It's funny because I'm actually drinking, I guess it's part of that whole group. I'm drinking from Misopilion.
It is Misopilion.
It's the nice. Vader Dark Imperial IPA. I don't know if you can see that.
Look at you.
It is. 8.2. If you can see that ABV, 8.2 ABV. It got Citra, Simcoe, and Mosaic hops. So it's a nice. Obviously, it's a black lager, so I mean it's a black IPA. So there it is, right there. It is in black in color. It is tasty if you like IPAs. It is good. So shout out to Mr. Pillion. I'm gonna say pass me another for that. As well. All right. Well, it seems like everybody has something delicious to sip on while we enjoy this conversation that we're about to embark on.
I feel like gulping this thing.
You're going to chug?
I feel like I need to chug this thing. It's so good. I'm going to take it easy.
All right, then. I'm going to take it easy. Take it easy as you half off.
Yes. Yes.
Half off with the slowness.
Like. Yes. Right. Yeah.
All right. Well, since we are here, we're just going to jump into it right now. We'd like to know who Laura is, how she got there, where she's doing, where she's going, where she's been. So without further ado, Laura, the floor is yours. Let me give you another round of applause.
I'm CEO of D-Flash. It's a cultural communications agency. We've been around about now into our 11th year, actually. Congrats. And we design experiences to make people feel welcome. So over that time, we've produced over 650 events. In the last 2 years, obviously, we've done about 75 live virtual events, mm-hmm. which is how we were able to not only survive but thrive during the pandemic as a experience agency. And, you know, for us, we just tell really dope stories. And, you know, we've been really good at working with big Fortune 500 brands like Spotify and Netflix and Amazon, but also up-and-coming brands, nonprofits, peer associations, startups, you know it. I've put rock walls in buildings. I've, you know, wrapped buses. I've built custom experiences on the south of France, French Riviera. And I've done private dinner with, like, you know, some really cool folks and, like, you know, George Lucas. Like, it doesn't really matter. But, you know, the kind of same thing always kind of holds true. It's called welcome home. Every experience you should be feeling like welcoming, walk through the doors and your home, so you'll stay in the experience. And it doesn't feel like someone should, you know, you're not supposed to be there. Whether you're an intern or whether you're a CEO, you will always feel comfortable in the experiences that we create. And, you know, it always has a kind of dope vibe. And that allows a lot of folks to feel good about the things that we create. And so I'm super proud of that. Even as we've, you know, grown, we still hold on to that. And about 5 years ago, I started the podcast, basically out of, like, I wanted to talk to interesting people, and I heard this podcasting thing was kind of interesting. And I looked around in the marketplace, and I knew I wanted to focus on business. I mean, obviously, I know tons about pop culture and all sort of stuff, but I want to kind of focus on the story of business leaders. And when I looked around, I was talking about white dudes talking about how they were crushing it. And I'm like, shut up. Your daddy gave you a $5 million loan. Shut up. That's not how this works. And you needed to hear from people who were doing the real work in business. And so I was like, well, I know. I know tons of people in business. Why don't I give them a forum to just do that? And so the Reset Podcast was born. And, you know, I think we're at 200 and 50-something episodes at this point. Okay. And we, I know, hold true to the same thing. We've been able to win some nice awards. We were just in Essence last week as, like, one of the 22 podcasts you should know. We hold on to that same thing. Like, I talk to all kinds of folks from business, and wherever that might be, whether they're just starting out, whether they're at big companies, whether they're at small companies, you know, what was their first job? How did they get to be there? What do they do for their self-care? What they wish they knew now when they were younger, and I give her an ask. And the responses I get from these folks in all walks of life has been fantastic. Yeah. And it's been a great experience. And, you know, I created this thing a couple of years ago called the 29 Days of Magic campaign, where I interview a Black woman a day for Black History Month, because apparently no one had thought to do this before.
Right.
Again, I'm like, what?
Right.
Why not?
Right.
And not pick people that I knew, because I was like, I know tons of Black women, but let me go find some new ones or recommend them to me. And so first year we had 30, last year we had 39. And I'm recording those episodes now, and I've got some amazing people who come through the same kind of like, come to me.
Yes.
I want you all to recommend who you think would be someone great, who has a cool story. And it doesn't have to be someone who's like CEO of blah, blah, blah. It's just, I want to hear from, I think that we forget that the everyday person does something awesome every single day, mm-hmm, and has a story to tell that someone can inspire, can give a bit of knowledge and a nugget to some folks. And so that's what the forum kind of creates. And so I'm super proud of what we've been able to create. And I'm excited for 2022, because I'm sure we're going to cause all kinds of trouble this year.
Yes, yes. As what's our guy, Jola says, good trouble.
All the time.
Good trouble.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that. So my question in terms of is around the experience company. Like, was that straight out from, like, did you just start that, or is that something that you grew into?
Yeah, I'd never planned an event before I created an events company.
Okay, well, there you go.
All right.
Way back when, it was basically got thrown together to do an event for a professional organization with some other folks, and it was like, well, I know how to plan some stuff because I'm a project manager, but I was a project manager for big advertising agency deploying websites.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I built some very famous websites and, you know, sat with developers till 1 o'clock in the morning at New Year's Eve, launching all kinds of websites. So, like, yeah, hated that job. really hated that job. Very good. And, you know, part of my, like, kind of trying to get out of that was to start networking and going to events, and did this event. And we sort of ripped out all the kind of stuff we didn't like. So, like, the check-in process, we made it easier. We made sure that the panelists were kind of interesting, as opposed to the kind of boring PR ones that you hear. Everyone's, rah, 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 rah. Mm-hmm. And you made sure that we had good, like, wine and cheese, like, mm-hmm, simple stuff. And that resonated with folks. And so the idea of doing these sort of networking events kind of was a side hustle was born. And your porn business partner and I just like started doing these events every single month, and again kept it really simple, like make people feel welcome, make sure no one's sitting by themselves when they walk through the doors, say hi, great to see you, what brings you here, you know, make sure we get open bars for the fish candies, like simple stuff. And from the very beginning it resonated with folks, and prior second event, you know, people were asking us to sponsor it. I'm like, we're not a company. I don't have a bank account. So if you write me a check, I don't know what you're going to do. So I remember Googling how to get a tax ID. Mm. And so, like, that's how it started. It was still a side hustle for the first 2 years of just doing these events and getting interesting people to come talk who were, like, some big names in advertising and marketing. This is, like, 2009, 2010, when folks were just blowing up. Mm-hmm. And a lot of brand folks started coming and saying, hey, can you do that for us? And I'm like, what? This. I'm like, it's not that, okay, you'll give me money? Sure, I'm in. I'm like, I'm not stupid. So we just kind of started growing from there. And then in 2011, decided to, like, take the leap and be like, you know what? Let's try it. If it doesn't work, we'll meet a bunch of people and we'll just kind of go into whatever job takes us next. Mm-hmm. And lo and behold, it stuck. And brands started hiring us for bigger stuff. And then we, like, next thing I know, I'm building activations in South by Southwest, and I'm like setting restaurants and turning them into yoga studios. I mean, just bananas. I'm like throwing giant parties of Erykah Badu and serving chicken and waffles on a rooftop in Austin, Texas. Wildest, craziest stuff. But still the same vibe, where like, this was a utility, this was a cool space, no one felt like you didn't feel welcome. I mean, look, we're all Black people here, so like for me to be doing that was a rarity. And they're like, well, this is multicultural. No, it's not. it's called, if you build dope stuff, guess what? Everybody comes, meaning everybody,
right?
Not just who you think is everybody. Right. And if that's what you think multicultural is, you dumb. This is like this is about making everybody feel good.
Yes,
because you got to meet like a cocktail. And so it just kind of grew and grew and grew, and you know, obviously it had all kinds of crazy ups and downs of being an entrepreneur, and like economic downturns are scary, and. You know, ultimately my business partner, you know, got married, had a couple kids, kind of wanted to do something else, and so I bought her out. And so I've been running the company solo for the last 5 years, and obviously we had COVID in 2020, which was terrifying, and, you know, you thought I was going to get a real job. I was like, wait, this is not fun anymore. But, you know, in that time in 2020, I actually kind of really found our purpose. Because, you know, I've been traveling nonstop, flying everywhere for our events for 9 years. And so I was home for a year. And so I got to really sit and think about the work we wanted to do. And one of the things I wanted to do was sort of help out with COVID, because obviously, you know, it was terrifying. And I had relatives who were sick, who got it very early, and thankfully were okay. But like, I'm like, this is dumb. I can move heaven and earth. Like, I've put all kinds of stuff all around the world. I'm sure I can figure out how to get the masks from China here. Like, come on. And I did. And lo and behold, I ended up working with a nonprofit to help get millions of masks into the hands of lots of students at HBCUs across the country, and other items of PPE, and like, you know, and do the right thing. And, you know, like, I remember I was talking to the people from my profit one day, and they're like, so how do we talk to these communities of color? I'm like, like, we talk to anybody.
Use words.
Your words. They were like, like, just be like, don't talk to other people. And also remember that it might be 2020 where you are in New York City, but it might be 1998 in some southern states. And so it doesn't mean that you should treat those people ridiculously. Yes, they can't DM you on Slack, but pick up the phone.
Right.
That's what you need to understand. And, you know, that was probably some of the most rewarding work I've had an opportunity to do over the last few years. And that highlighted just a lot of work. And then we ended up, you know, getting a really cool project with Spotify that became a game changer for our company in 2021. And so we had our best year ever in 2021. You know, again, kind of aligning this interesting purpose with doing dope stuff. And so we helped bring, you know, 12 countries around the world, these up-and-coming podcasters, everything they need for podcasting. So their mics, their laptops, custom swag, you know, so like when you're at home doing all this stuff. And so it was super cool, and a lot of crazy late nights, lots of insane WhatsApp conversations that will never be shared out publicly. You'd be surprised at things you have to do to get stuff in India or in Mexico. Requires cash. But the thing was, we were able to make those things come to life. And, you know, as we are heading into 2022 now, we've got some really awesome things that are going to be coming up like next week or so. That'll be super dope and kind of game changing and how we view experiential. So it's been an insane ride. I think about where I'm sitting right now, and I recently moved, hence my half wallpaper. And I'm sitting in this really awesome new apartment of mine, and I just remember, and I'm eminently grateful for like what we've been able to accomplish and what we have yet to do, because I'm like, this is not difficult. This is not easy. No. The entrepreneur is not for the faint of heart, and I do not recommend it for everybody, because you need some insanely thick skin to make it happen. But when you can do it, and the rewards are a really truly really special. Yeah, it's bananas. And also the best one, like the best team ever. Of folks who almost all are older than me. I took pride in the fact that I'm the youngest employee at DF. I hired grown-ups. I am still a child. But yeah, like it comes in handy. Like you know what your strengths are, you know what your weaknesses are. And I can't do everything, nor do I want to. But yeah, so we've had a really incredible ride, and what's next is going to be even more incredible.
Nice. I guess I could have asked this earlier. Like, what? Because I always, every time I see it, I was like, "What does D-Flash? Like, what does D-Flash mean? Like, what does it stand for?"
You want the real story?
Yeah.
Yes. Absolutely. Okay.
That's why we're here.
So, in October 2009, my former business partner and I had the idea for doing this like little events thing on the side. We're sitting at a Starbucks in New York City, nearby Grand Central Station. I've got big glass windows, and we're sitting at the kind of like stools that face out to the street. And so we're like sitting like this, like chatting away, and like, oh my gosh, I guess we're gonna do this thing. I'm like, yeah, let's just do it and see what happens. It's a Friday at like 5 o'clock in October, so it's still bright out.
All right.
And all of a sudden, my former business partner looks at me, Laura, oh my god, look, I'm like, what? This dude. Flashing us.
D-Flash. wasn't would have never guessed that.
Exactly. So basically, our original name was Digital Flash NYC, and because we like that was the flash, and it happened. That was like a digital moment because we were talking about marketing. So like, but yeah, like so when we first started the company, we had this thing where like this is how our kind of like icebreaker networking was. Like, if you want to know the story about how we got our name, you have to get us for a cocktail. So we'll tell you what actually happened. And so it's like, you like, and one, not impressive. I'm just saying.
Right.
Come with some weight.
I'm
doing, come low heavier.
I'm a black woman. Impress me. Okay, right.
I like how it's a double entendre, too. It's digital and, you know, dick.
So as the years went by, we kind of kept shrinking our name down from Digital Flash, and then finally we just get rid of the word digital. No one gets it. So like D-Flash just sounds give people whatever
way cooler.
It creates conversation. But why? And I'm like, come have a drink and I'll tell you why. But yeah, literally this dude like flashes trench coat. Like it was just like, are you serious?
Definitely, you can't flash like, without a trench coat, right? You can't.
Like really movie type thing. He went the whole stereotype.
Stereotype in October. I don't know if you guys have ever been to New York, but like Grand Central is pretty busy.
Right.
And so it was a busy.
He wanted both of y'all's attention.
Oh, he had purpose. Oh, y'all two weren't the only ones. Y'all weren't the only ones that day. Y'all definitely could not have been.
Ones, but we were two cute ones. And so therefore, that's where I think it came from. And I'm like, what did you hope to accomplish? So I should be like, right.
Like, how does that work? Or I'm coming home with you now? Like, you did it.
Like, text me your number. Like, what
right.
is going to happen? Like,
what is the purpose of this? Right?
I think he just wanted to show. I think it's more exhibition.
Maybe you should say that afterwards.
Yeah. Call me maybe never? No.
Not at all, not ever.
Epic fail.
Yeah, because, like, that's a mental issue. That's a mental break a little bit if you outside in the park with a trench coat on.
It could be a fetish too.
It was totally a fetish.
So if it's a fetish, there's someone out, there's a lady out there that said, I'm coming with you after I see that.
Yeah.
Or he might just get possible. Off. He might get off on flashing people.
Yeah.
I think the shock and awe of it all. Right. Because like, we were just like, oh my God.
Yeah. And that got him excited. Like, they're disgusted by me. That's the point.
Yeah.
So little did he know his inappropriateness would,
That would
form
be
a company
that
name.
Would be crazy.
Like, could what you find him and like give him a company share?
What if he literally just had a mental break?
What if
his mental break? What if he had a mental break for like 2 weeks and y'all were in the middle of that and now he's like a businessman and coming for your help?
It has no idea. I don't remember what his face looks like, but
neither one of y'all will ever know. Y'all would never know. I mean, you probably work with him. You may have worked with them.
Entirely possible. I mean, again, the ways you can choose violence, that's what you chose to do? Like, I'm confused. But yeah, that's literally how we start our day.
Wow, well, crazy. Well, I would have never guessed that, like you said, Lou.
No. The last guess. It was never a guess. That was not a guess.
Yeah, I'm glad I asked now.
No one's ever guessed.
Yes.
We've had hundreds of conversations with us, and like, we're like, yes, what do you think it is? And they're like,
I actually think they probably guessed digital.
Right. It probably right. would.
Sure, they've guessed digital before.
Because yeah, that was our former name. Yeah. So, like, yeah, mm-hmm. That was our name for the first 6 years of the company.
Oh, okay. Okay. Gotcha.
But yeah, like, people will ask us, like, why did you come up with Digital Flash? Like, it's a camera, it's like Flash, like animation. And I'm like,
No.
You're giving us way, way too much credit for that. We're special here.
Yes. Yes.
We make the jokey jokes.
Yes.
Laura, this is a side question within that little thing that you just gave us. When you go from Digital Flash New York City and then you shorten it to Digital Flash and then you go to D Flash, do you have to keep like reapplying for the name of your company? How does that actually work?
You become like what's called a DBA.
Yeah.
So our legal name on any contract that we sign is still Digital Flash NYC. Like our website's dflash.co, all mm-hmm. our social is dflash, mm-hmm. dflash, or dflash NYC. For us, it's just saying that long name was a long right. name to say. Right, right. And we're in an industry where, you know, words are short, like Twitter.
Yeah. So, it's like the nickname, like you call my name, my government. The government name is Digital Flash NYC.
Yes.
But the nickname mm-hmm. is, okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
All right, makes sense.
And even now we just go by DF most of the time.
Even smaller.
Like, that's right. Because it was like, you know, it's just shrink. Mm-hmm. There you go.
Mm-hmm. Don't throw a T in the middle of that thing. DTF.
Hey, listen.
Actually, I think the smaller you get, the more likely I would get guessed.
Start thinking about nasty stuff. Right. Yeah.
Whenever we say DF, we say don't fret because D Flash is here.
Right.
We take care of everything. We make everybody feel good.
That's like a quadruple entendre.
I know. Awesome. I know. Yeah, awesome. Yes, I know what the other DF said. I live on Earth.
Yeah, I've been doing this.
Yes.
I'll be all right.
Mm-hmm.
I love it.
So, Laura, I know a lot of times when I've listened to the Reset podcast, you share it with, you know, your guests that you are originally from the UK. Am I right?
Yes, sir.
Tell us, viewers, listeners, you know, how that journey to, you know, America, so to speak, happened, and about your, you know, some of your family lineage.
Sure. So you can obviously all tell I was born in England. By my voice.
Absolutely. Yes.
Here we go.
Yeah, it's quite brilliant indeed, I know. Mm-hmm, and everyone mm-hmm. wants some bangers and mash.
Only when she's around family it come out. Or she get mad.
On and off. Right? That was awesome. No, that was crazy.
No, I'm way better at doing a Jamaican accent because that is actually easier for me.
She's bilingual.
Yes.
I'll kind of patois. I have Jamaican parents, we were in England. I was born in England and came here when I was three. And the reason I don't have an accent anymore is because kids are cruel.
This is like the Slick Rick story.
You talk different.
It's like the Slick Rick story.
Yeah, came. I mean, really. I was like fresh off the boat in like kindergarten and like a private school on Long Island, and like kids were like, you're already kind of shy, you're super nerdy because you know how to read faster than anybody else, mm-hmm. and you have this accent. Yeah, we're just gonna make fun of you all the time.
Right.
So like that, the accent kind of went away, and so then it's been replaced by this voice, which completely confuses everyone over the phone, mm-hmm. always, or over email. Because I had someone recently not know that I was black and over email, and like literally like jumped when she saw me on Zoom. He was like, "Wait, I had no idea it was a buck going. And she was just like, oh, I'm so glad to see you. I just did not think.
Like, oh, that was great.
Thought the link was hacked.
Like, I was like, there's this thing called Google.
All right.
Google me. Google me.
You'll see the photos.
Yeah.
I come up first. Trust me. It's a very unusual name. And I have a French sounding last name. No, I'm not Haitian. Which is also a common misconception about me. So I'm just like, no, we're Jamaican. I said a French last name because actual French relatives go to the island of Jamaica to go make a bunch of money off of sugar cane. And then, you know, once you go black, you don't go back. And so they just stayed.
That's right.
And lo and behold, our family came to be. So like, you know, I had a different upbringing. I've mentioned this on the podcast many a time, but like having a Caribbean English background growing up in New York, it was just a different experience from how and being an immigrant family. Mm-hmm. Like, I never went trick-or-treating. I've never did a sleepover, like, because my family don't get it. And obviously a lot of it was study a book. And so I was a super nerd. Like, I have more degrees than I can shake a stick at. My parents kind of know what I do right now. All I know is I don't have any money. So, like, they're just, okay, sure.
Okay.
You must be successful because you don't bother. Right.
She's actually giving us Christmas gifts.
Exactly. Like, I get you guys nice stuff.
Right.
But, like, yeah, I mean, I think the lived experience of like a Caribbean upbringing is just a different one than an African American one, just because you get to see the world in a different set of circumstances. Mm-hmm. And as a result of that, it's a different view, not one better or the other. It's just a different one. Mm-hmm. And as a result of that, you know, it affords me an opportunity to be in some interesting spaces. And like, I always use it as an opportunity to sort of lift as I climb and like, yo, come through. Like, if I can get here, you can get here too. And not view it as like one is better than another. But no, like, dude, I just happen to be in the space that people want to be. So like, I will bring you too.
Yeah.
That's how it is.
Yeah. Just as you said that last part, that reminds me of just our short conversation. Once you learned we were fellow podcasters and went at the wedding, you were like, oh, good, you do a podcast. You were like, who's your sponsors? And I was like, oh, yeah, about that. You know, it was literally like in those moments, as you said, like you climb, you wanted to lift in that moment. And like, listen, let us build, let's talk more about that and what that looks like. And, you know, that I came home from that wedding weekend feeling like, you know, like we got real work to do, fellas. Like, you know, let's dig in, let's do more. So what would you say was your the goal you set out to really build and uplift, you know, your podcast when you did start it? Like, who were the pillars that helped you do that and make that grow?
Well, you know, it was an interesting time. You know, like my business partner and I had to split, and we didn't do the live events anymore. Mm-hmm. But it was also like, it's just, you know, good timing with good people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I had happened to have been working, had done an event with a kind of now well-known podcast producer and had like made sure that he met someone who was at the event. Mm-hmm. And he was like, and he like, we went to dinner like shortly before I had been thinking about the podcast. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, I'll just run it by him. Like, hey, you know, I have this idea for a podcast. I'm not sure if this will work. And he's like, that's a great idea. I'll produce that for you. But I'm like, what? Mm-hmm. And so that worked out well. And then one of my clients is also a friend of mine. I told her about the idea for the podcast. And she's like, oh, we'll sponsor that. I'm like, and, you know, I went to like some good friendlies of mine and said, like, you know, I have this idea for the podcast. I'm not sure what the hell I'm doing, but like, you want to come and like, you know, have some like wine and French fries at my house and we'll try and record some episodes. I'm like, yeah, we're down. Mm-hmm. And I think it comes from like, always sort of being open to folks and not trying to be like you're better than anybody else. Like, I've tried very hard to, like, when I'm in different spaces, like, offer some advice, because I get to see a lot of stuff. Like, you know, even though, like, I think the misconception is, oh, you have an events company, so like you do weddings and stuff. Like, no, I do multi-million-dollar corporate events for brands that you use every single day. Mm-hmm. And like, what we do is not just like a run up show. It's like I'm building an experience. And as a result of that, I get to talk to like some very important people. Mm-hmm. And they take my advice and counsel on lots of things, not just where to put that shelf. Mm-hmm. And so that gives me an introduction, that gives me an insight into other people. And I get to build relationships with folks. Like, you know, mm-hmm. the biggest thing I'll teach a class, I'm teaching people how to network, because I'm like, if you don't connect with people, you ain't gonna get nowhere.
Right.
Like, you can be the smartest person in the room, but if no one knows who you are, that mm-hmm. isn't gonna get you where you need to go. The connections are what gets you to the next places. That's how Absolutely. We build our business. It's like yeah. we've been on word of mouth business for the majority of our time. Like, mm-hmm. and it didn't win like tons of RFPs. It was like someone recommending it to somebody else who went to mm-hmm. our event. And like, this is dope. You should talk to Laura. Blah blah blah. And like mm-hmm. that's how it kind of came to be. And you know, you someone might have heard me speak somewhere. They might have been heard the podcast. Like that's kind of how it all kind of comes to be. Mm-hmm. And like giving people the opportunity, like yo, like let me see what I can do to help is. Mm-hmm. Is the right way to do things. I think a lot of folks half-ass that.
Yeah, yeah.
And or they don't back it up. Like, mm-hmm. Or it's like, well, you know, I want to. You have to like pay me to pick my brain. I'm like, oh, shut it. Like, no.
Right.
Like,
right.
It's like there's nothing. Like, you can do a simple 15, 20 minute. Hey, what's up? What are you up to? What am I up to? Cool. We're down for that. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't have to. You can figure out what your boundaries are, but still enable connections.
Mm-hmm.
And I think sometimes that gets in the way of people's success. And so, you know, this thing that the big thing we have coming up soon is 1,000% based on connections, but also delivering. It's like you can have great connections, but if you don't deliver, then it doesn't work either. And so, you know, we got this opportunity. Through a connection, we delivered, and so it's up to something really huge. But, like, they go hand in hand. Like, when someone gives you a shot, you want to take it, to do it well.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's what that's what I always impart on folks. I'm like, if I make an introduction for you, do not screw this up.
Don't up. Right. It's not just you.
It's
attached to me. It's a dotted line to me.
Is that why they call you the Oprah that they know? Is that why they call you the Oprah that you know?
Yes, you know, a friend of mine who I had in the podcast said that, and I was like, this whole group of like 100 women, and I'm like, I guess it's me now. And I guess because she was like, no, you're just so accessible, like you just know like who to talk to, and like it's not, and it doesn't come from this like place of like, you know, well, let me
like a name dropping. Yeah,
no, I mean, look, there's plenty of people I could name drop, plenty of celebrities who you've gotten a chance to work with and done some cool stuff, but like,
mm-hmm. what's that
just people,
exactly,
just right. people. Right. I mean, mm-hmm. and like, you know, and some of the most connected people I know you've never heard of, and that's because that's the way they want it,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you do stuff for folks because, again, the right thing to do. Mm-hmm. And it gives you, and affords you opportunities in the future. Because you mm-hmm. like, look, someone asked me for something insane a few weeks ago. And I was like, you're connected to who? And I was like, okay. It's a very famous basketball player that everybody knows. Mm-hmm. And I was like, why? And he told me why. And I was like, okay.
That makes All right. Did it cut it? Did their reason why cut it?
No. Yeah, it was a very good reason why. And so, like, I texted two friends of mine who I thought would know, and of course, they both were like, yeah, like, can we just talk to them for about 2 seconds and make sure it's not ridiculous? I'm like, yeah. So they connected, and then I talked to both my friends, and they were both like, oh, we can do so many other things with you as well. Oh,
nice. Beautiful.
And then they connected them to the basketball player. And that was like in 15 minutes. Awesome. And it was one of those things where it's like, you know, great, now he owes me a favor. So maybe whenever I have something insane and I have a super crazy request, I'll be like, hey, remember that time?
Remember that time?
time to call him.
Let me cash in my coupon. Right.
I will cash in my chip. Right.
Yes.
It's a time to cash in my chip.
I will cash in that chip at the appropriate time. Yes. You know, there's like, you know, we've done lots of events for folks who are, you know, very well known, and behind the scenes something insane happened, and I got a text from somebody like, do you know how to fix this? Yeah, here, this is what you need to do. And then like some people are like, well, that's gonna be $5,000. I'm like, no, I'm gonna invest in a relationship here, because it's like, it didn't have to be about the money every single time. That's not to say don't go for the money, but right. just like measure what you're trying to do, and not mm-hmm. not everything is about cutting a check today. Right. Because it could lead to a much larger one tomorrow if you play your cards right mm-hmm. and don't get so hung up on other stuff. Again, it means to honor your value and not do stupid shit for free. Mm-hmm. But also understanding that the game is very long, the mm-hmm. role is super tiny, mm-hmm. And you never know who's paying attention. So like mm-hmm. Try and do the right thing as best you can.
Yeah.
Try. Right.
So go ahead, Rob.
Oh well, my question was, out of all the events that you have curated, what is the one do you have one that you're most proud of? Like, you know what? We did that right there.
Smashed it. Rocked it.
Oh, there's so many. They're all like my kids.
Everybody have a favorite kid. No, I'm just joking.
Yeah. Oh, man. Don't say that.
I've heard that from my friends who have children.
I do not have a favorite
kid. I was just messing. I have two wonderful children that I love to stay.
I love them equally.
Me too.
Differently, but equally.
Yeah, there you go.
Yes.
Okay, how about this? I'll go by this standard. The most baller event that we ever did was in the south of France over 5 days. And we opened with Gail King. We had Naomi Campbell, John Legend, and Gabrielle Union over the course of those 5 days. And we built this dope space that had air-conditioned cabanas and a stage. We flew in chefs from all across the U.S. to the south of France, and they like made like five French cheese mac and cheese, and then like shrimp and grits in the French Riviera. It was the dopest anyone's ever seen. It was the first time it ever been done, and we changed the way that you could experience this conference called the Cannes Lions. It was like grounded in diversity and inclusion, but it wasn't called that, and it had such a vibe. And like, you know, one of my favorite comments, and I saw the video on my phone, this woman from Estonia comes up to me and she's like, I just want to tell you, this is amazing. And I was like, I've never felt more welcome than 15 minutes ago. And I'm like, well, what happened 15 minutes ago? And she's like, I walked in here. And I was like, wow. And she's like, I'm from Estonia. I don't see people of color. And I thought if I came in here that I wouldn't feel welcome, that I would be the reverse for me, that I would be the only. And not only do I feel welcome, but like I don't want to leave. Mm-hmm. And you know, for me, that tells me I'm doing the right stuff. Where it's like everyone should feel like you've got this dope vibe, and because when you feel comfortable, what ends up happening? You connect with folks. You learn from people.
Right,
you build. Right. You chill. And when you create spaces like that and you get that kind of feedback, like that's the most rewarding stuff, because like you never know how it's going to be. You like it's it's right up to that moment. You're just like, go, and I hope it works out. Mm-hmm. But for that, that was probably like the dopest one we've ever done, because it encompassed so much in amount of time, and it was the first of its kind. I think the other one is probably this past year with Spotify, because that was rewarding a whole other way, because we're in the middle of a pandemic. A lot of these folks, were young, like 18, 21. Mm-hmm. It's the first time they're like getting to like share their voice with the world. Mm. And you got to see some women, one of the things we provided was internet access, mobile internet access to some of these folks. And one girl in one of the countries that we were sending the boxes to, said to our kind of local team leader, like, oh, how do I send the internet back once the program is over? And he's like, no, it's yours to keep. And she's like, mine to keep? Mm. And she's like, yeah. She's like, I've never had internet before. Mm. And you think about what that means and how this, sleepless nights, all kinds of crazy phone calls, just literally driving yourself crazy. And you think about, I have internet on this, I have internet on this computer, I've got my iPad, I have this watch, what are you talking about? You have internet. Right. And you realize what it means for other, what you're actually doing for other people. And it makes that so much more rewarding, because you're in the midst, and you think about, to be in the middle of a pandemic and you don't have internet. Mm. Like, just how... Right. Like, how does it even, how you even live?
How's it even possible? Right.
I was thinking it is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so to be able to facilitate that, you know, that's the kind of work where it's like, you know what? We do some of the dumbest shit ever. Mm-hmm. And we do it, and nobody does it like us. And it makes that's me awesome. Immensely proud of our team and the crazy that we're able to pull together.
Mm-hmm.
So those two.
Nice. Aren't I glad I bumped into you on that at that wedding in 2019?
See,
I knew you were amazing.
I just try. I have friends wherever I go.
That's my middle name. Friends wherever I go. It sometimes pisses my wife off, but I'd be like, I know somewhere everywhere I go, or I'm gonna meet someone. I'm going to meet someone.
She got George Lucas in the phone.
Yeah, that was a drop that tried to be humble, but definitely was not humble. Like, you can't say I met with George Lucas and be humble about that. You should.
Oh, you mean like, oh,
especially after too? Rob said I got the Darth Vader beer, you dropped George Lucas' name like
right.
Me and Devin know each other, like
right.
Like, I just know George Lucas. We meet every once in a while for drinks.
Yeah, you know, I mean, we went to the basketball game last Friday.
You're right. I seen the Clippers. Like, why are you at the Clippers game? Why aren't you at the Lakers game? You should be at the Lakers game. Stuff like that.
Yeah, you really should be. I mean, again, you casually mentioned. I mean, the biggest flex I have, I think, is the Naomi Campbell thing.
That made my eyes perk up a little bit.
Because like that was probably like the one of the most like, are you kidding me? No, like, wonderfully lovely woman, and just she really enjoyed her experience. And this was at the event in the south of France, and like, it was funny because she also is Jamaican English, and so I had met her the night before on a beach. In a party with Swiss Beats, listening to Nas. Yeah, I know.
Hit it. Bang, bang, bang.
It was six of us, and Nas was performing for just the six of us on the beat. Like, Swiss was in the, like, was the DJ.
Oh, you are in the south of France, so I mean, it doesn't matter.
And we're in the south of France, right.
Again, sometimes I was like, where am I? And I remember, I remember seeing her, and my friend was like, you should go tell her that she's picking the event tomorrow. I'm like, I'm not doing that. And my friend's like, no, go. I don't know. I'm like, and then he goes over and he goes, oh, yeah, Laura's producing the event and you're going tomorrow. And he's like, oh, come over. And I'm like, are you? What?
Welcome. Come on.
Hi.
And
then you guys bond over the UK Jamaican lineage.
Yeah. And so
now y'all friends too. You probably friends with her too. Yep.
She's in the phone. She's in the phone.
Hey. Hi, Naomi.
And like, just people, and just talking to folks with their people. And when I told her about the event, and she was like, "Oh my gosh, this is amazing!" And like, she came the next day, and she was wonderfully lovely. Wow. She also saved my finger because someone slammed the door, and we had like a little green room, and so like, we're escorting her into the green room, and like the sliding door, and the person behind me doesn't see that my hand is like still on the side of the edge of the door, and slammed the door, and like. Hits my pinky. And you know when you have that moment where you're like, I should probably be screaming bloody murder right now, but right. Naomi Campbell's a foot away from me, and I'll be screaming in her ear, so I can't do that. So it's like, and she goes, oh my God, are you all right? And I'm like, I'm fine. And she's like, get ice. And she like dumps open an ice bucket and like wraps my hand with ice. And I'm like, is Naomi Campbell one of the, like, she just
taking care of
my hands. What happened was
Naomi Campbell just saved my pinky finger. That is a great story.
I'm like,
you got a lot of cocktail stories.
I have a lot of cocktail stories. But yeah, like those are the kind of things that like we're just
That's cool.
That just happened. It was okay. Finger doesn't hurt anymore. It's all good.
So because you are so accessible, like how many assistants do you have?
Yeah, what is your team?
I don't have assistants.
You don't have assistants?
No, I mean, like, I have, also we're a family of six full-time employees, and then we have, like, an army of freelancers, or like 10 or 12, depending on the projects that we're working on.
Yeah.
And I mean, I kind of did my own schedule. Didn't I not say like, hey, like you just need to schedule with me?
Yeah, yeah. It was that easy.
Sundays at one, sure.
Laura's in my phone, y'all.
You one degree away from Naomi, bro. That means I'm 2 degrees away. We are on our way, bro.
And like, you know, I mean, I will say that I do need an assistant because like I do get a little bit inundated, and because like, you know, COVID time, like, whatever, you don't need all that. But like, we've definitely gotten significantly busier in the last several months. Mm-hmm. We're about to be even busier, and my second command is like, if you don't get an assistant, I'm going to slap you. And I'm like, I know I will. Oh, so like in the next month, I will be hiring.
Working on that.
Because it's like, I take it all so seriously. Like, you know, I don't, like, I respond to people when they email me. It's like, I don't, like, I miss stuff. Cause,
right.
I get it. You're busy. I'm trying to delegate more.
Does the assistant that you're looking for have to be local to you?
No.
All right. You
hear that?
It's a virtual world.
I'm just asking so we can put this out in the ether and get some people to call you and send their resume.
Disqualified.
Right.
Yes, this qualified, please.
Like, qualify. Yeah, that's obvious.
They just can't say on a resume, want to meet Naomi Campbell.
That literally is not going to happen.
My name is Lewis, and I just want to meet Naomi. Can I?
Lewis Zach. Well, no. you try to be her assistant, Lewis.
No. We could talk.
I mean, listen, I will say that Gabrielle did stay for like 8 hours at our activation with our whole family and like hugged me because I like actually had like sweet potatoes for her child.
Warmed her soul.
They were the loveliest. She and Dwayne were the loveliest people ever and wonderful. Again, that's the thing. If you make people feel welcome, they'll chill. They will hang. Yeah. And this is not about like having to be someone that you're not. And I think people are just people. It's the same thing with John Legend and like everybody. Like people they're just folks. If you treat people with like the same way, but like it goes both ways, and I'm always amazed that people like don't treat people who are up and coming the same deal. It's like you never know where someone's going to be in six months, a year, and so you should
remember that slight.
There's a very well-known person in our industry and complete slight, and I was like, do you not know how small this world is? I was like, yo, like, you can't be like the people. Like, that's just rude.
Right.
You know, I think, you know, as successful as I continue to grow and be, it is my hope that I never get to the point where I forget that.
Right.
Because, like, I've seen it happen a few times for some folks. Like, you know, they used to be really mad cool, and then, like, as they move up in the world, you know, they just forget what it was to be a regular human being. And like, you know, and it's my hope that like that never changes for me. Or if it begins to brew, someone smacks me quickly upside my weave and was like, don't do that. Because like, you cannot. You really got to be chill with folks.
To your point, I think of two instances where, you know, I could have been like starstruck, and I was in Philly. Charlie Mack, who's a very good friend of Will Smith, he used to throw parties there. And my friend Nick, who would throw these events with them, they had this event that he could invite a plus one to. And we were at this downtown Center City spot called the Armory. And I knew that like it was Charlie Mack's event that he was doing for Will Smith. Did I know that Will Smith was going to be walking the room, and there was this plush like place, and there were all like these like almost like a Miami style like beds were inside of this club and everything, and like Will Smith is walking around and he gets to me and he's like, you know, thank you for coming, and he reaches his hand out and he like shakes, and I'm like, oh, I'm glad to be here, like, but in that moment, like, you know, like you just have to be like normal. He's a person. Like, he just thanked me for being at his, you know, at his event. And he's just a regular dude at the, you know, at the end of the day. Although I definitely was like looking at my hand for a minute later after he walked away, like, oh my God. So I definitely get it. But you just gotta be in the right headspace when you're in that kind of company.
Yeah. Now, I think you briefly mentioned it, but you do also have an online course called One Degree of Connection. Is that correct? Like, how can people do that? What is that all about? How people can find out all that good stuff?
Yeah, so if you go to my website, lauremakin.com, you can click to sign up for the course. It's like $40 or something. And basically, I teach you how to network, because I think sometimes, especially for us Black folks, it's the perception of what that is gets this like ickiness of like, oh, you're acting white, or you're trying to be fake. And I'm like, shut it. Do you want to be successful or not? It's like, you want to know how you get to be in a room with Naomi Campbell and she's the one shaking your hand and thanking you for your event? It's like you put yourself out there in a way that exudes confidence and calls people in instead of making people go away towards you. Laura, you have the best energy. I'm like, yeah, because I'm not a bitch.
I mean, you can be. Right. Everybody got that switch.
Yeah, real quick. Also, I'm Jamaican, so.
Watch it.
Just wait. But like, so we teach you how to like kind of break down the kind of misconceptions around what networking is, by also calling it connections. If you're 1 degree, you know, it's all heard of the 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon, but really, you're 1 degree away. Because, like, jokingly, like, you guys now are all 1 degree away from Naomi Campbell because I know her. Her, you know me.
Right.
You go. But, like, making people understand that you have something to connect to. In a way that doesn't feel like, oh my gosh, I don't know anybody. So like, I know nothing about you guys, and this is a perfect example. I know nothing about Devin, but I knew that he'd been to a wedding, which means I know you know at least 5 people. You know the bride and the groom. You ate the food, so you probably know who the caterer is, because you probably asked about the food. You know a wedding venue, because you went there. You know a photographer, because you got your picture taken. It's 5 people. I know nothing about you, but I know that you know 5 people. And when you break it down in those simple ways, like, yes, I do know people, I can go to those connections and ask if they know someone who might know somebody else and begin to build out and kind of and figure out where those connections can take me. And sort of breaking down those misconceptions. And one of the things we do is this thing called 5 for 5. We pick 5 people you haven't talked to in like 5 weeks, 5 minutes, 5 months, 5 years, and just reach out. The pandemic is actually kind of the perfect way to do this. You can do it on LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, whatever. And just be like, hey, what's up? Like, you came to my thoughts the other day. We'd love to catch up. Got 15 minutes? Out of the 5 people, if you get 3, or you get 2, or if you get 1, you can just like shoot the shit for like 15 minutes, like, oh, what have you been up to? How's this pandemic been? Blah, blah, blah. And you're now on that person's mind, you're that person's radar. You're now on your radar. And, you know, kind of the energy that you put out is the energy you get back. So when you give that out in terms of like, oh, you know, I just, you know, checked out Grand Crew and Abbott Elementary on ABC. That's dope. You should check it out too. Like, it begins to build, you sort of begin to build those connections for simple stuff. That build those relationships. And then later on, I'm like, oh, you know, I saw that, you know, Devin. Like, I've been trying to talk to somebody who's doing, you know, interesting things in beer. He might be able to connect you to somebody. There you go.
Right. There it
That's
is.
That's really what this is.
Yep.
But also giving people the confidence to understand that, like, it isn't brain surgery. Like, they're, and, like, it's about working smart. You know, Lovey R.J. Jones, who I adore, who has a great book called Professional Troublemaker. And Fear Fighter Manual, which I highly recommend, because it kind of does a lot of this as well. Sort of breaking down what you have to do in order to be successful. It is those smart connections.
Yes.
So you can be working hard all day long, but if you've never gone out and met anybody, it's kind of like a tree falling down the forest. No one will hear it. No. So you have to put yourselves in those rooms and those conversations where folks can at least know that you exist and know that you do that. And I always use myself as a perfect example. Remember I said way back in the beginning, I was a project manager for websites that nobody knew who they were, and now I have thousands of people. It takes work. It takes effort. But when you do it and you stay true to who you are, it puts you in some amazing rooms. If you had told Laura in 2006, was sitting there deploying M&M's.com, that like in 2022, I'd be sitting here talking to you guys. Like, there's no way. Or where I'd be sitting in my apartment in Manhattan. Like, just would not have been a thing. Mm-hmm. But like, I took the chance to like put myself out there and be in different rooms. And this is especially true for folks that look like us. You're going to need to go in a room that don't look like us.
Absolutely.
Yeah, like, over and over and over and over and over again. If you are in a room where you are exactly the same as everybody else in that room, get out of the room.
Get out of the room.
You've got to go to other rooms. Mm-hmm. You have to go to other rooms. Mm-hmm. Like, and, oh, well, it's not the same for white people. Yeah, because role stuff's easy. Sorry.
Right.
But, like, mm-hmm. you have to make the efforts. Like, you're going, like, you just... Look, you have to have multitudes of crews, mm-hmm. and multitudes of friend groups, and you kind of, you know, have concentric circles of what those look like. You're super tight, like folks you run or die for, your cool ones, you know, mm-hmm. the ones your industry friends, like you mm-hmm. have these sort of concentric circles of groups that you have. Mm-hmm. But your network should never just be vertical. They should be horizontal. They should cut across everything.
Yes.
I know a guy who's a lawyer. I know a girl who's a great real estate person. I know a guy who's a great photographer. I know a woman who's a great makeup artist. You know, I know a great guy who's a candle maker. Like, whatever. You should be able to build those networks right. across every industry, mm-hmm. and not think that you can only have one core group of people and that's mm-hmm. gonna be a run or die. That's just yeah. not how it works.
Yeah, that whole especially thing, people us. Be like, no new friends and all that. Don't subscribe to that. I mean, Drake made the song sound.
You can have but... no new friends, but you gotta have a lot of new associates.
Unless you're Drake.
Unless you're Drake. Yeah. Unless you're Drake, and then you have all kinds of
it's like, it's all about the network. Like you said, you got that close group of your ride or die. Like, they don't need to be new necessarily, but everybody on the outer circles of they have to constantly be in flux and learning who can help you better and things of that nature. So Laura, you're absolutely right. I used to say Black people in America need white people to be successful. You got to be in those rooms. White people, if they don't want to F with Black people, like, they don't need them to be successful. But you have to talk to some white person or somebody, like you said, Laura, that looks different than these Black people to be as successful as you want to be. So get out of your head and get out of your box and do better. You're right.
Also, stop acting like you can't find. Like, not again. You're gonna run into groups that are like don't want to screw with you. Fine, but like you will if you put out things that you want to do. Like if you want to be involved. Like the perfect example now is like Web3, Metaverse, and all NFTs.
Yep, yep.
And yeah, like there are. It is like, you know, quite saturated right now. But there are pockets of good stuff, you know. Like mm-hmm. I've gotten to know some really, really great white dudes who are in the space, and like they're welcoming me in. And like, where am I doing? Open the door, come through, all the folks, come on in. The water's fine.
mm-hmm.
And you know, you know, if you build the character of being like a utility, where like you're kind of the plug, like the joke about me being okay, open it, you know, is because I'm kind of like a plug. Like I can put you to this person, and I'm like, get out of the way. But yep. like everyone can be their own plug, whereby like mm-hmm. you know the best restaurant recommendations. Like, you know, younger folks like, oh, I don't know anybody, but I was born and raised in the city. I'm like, so basically you probably know all the places for like, you know, babysitting. You know all the places where you can like, it's a good place for your kids to go for a class. So if you're someone junior and you talk to someone senior, like there is something you can bond over. And, you know, mm-hmm. if it's like, if you love cars, like I love cars. Like there's mm-hmm. very few black people who love cars apparently. But like I can go in pretty much any room where it's mostly men and talk about cars and like break the ice.
Mm-hmm.
I like to drink gin. Like there's simple things that you can do. And so that's what happened to the course. But like helping you just sort of see that, like, one, you have tons and tons of value. And I think oftentimes, you know, because we're told that we're not enough,
mm-hmm.
and that it's not, and like, you know, we're always going to forever be behind the eight ball, people mm-hmm. believe it. And it's like, my thing is, you are enough. You mm-hmm. can do this. You can have this sort of abundance mindset. Does not mean that every single thing is going to go right and perfect mm-hmm. every single time. But mm-hmm. if you walk in this space of like, okay, I can make this happen. I can put one foot in front of the other and I will find a way to make this happen. Like if you are here today, like there, it's a gift. It's a blessing. Like, yeah. you know, I was saying to somebody the other day, like we didn't survive a pandemic to play small.
Right.
So like take a shot, shoot your shot. Like, mm-hmm. you know, take the job, take the new project, take the vacation. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, take the trip, take that crazy ass adventure. Like, because and then tell people about it. Like, let folks know that you did this. Like, I mean, it's one of those things where, like, you know, when folks know that you are out there, and again, you can measure how you do this. Like, mm-hmm. you are not going to see me posting pictures of my food on Instagram. Mm-hmm. However, if I go somewhere insane and, like, this is the dopest dessert I've ever seen, you're going to see a picture mm-hmm. of it. Because, like, this is something cool and interesting that makes good sense. It's not every single day you're seeing my idea. Like, I went on mm-hmm. vacation, I didn't put on Instagram. I'm like, oh, I need to. Right. I put one photo up on a beach, and like I said, you should all take some time off. That's all I said.
Right.
And you can do stuff like that. You can measure who you want to be on social media, mm-hmm. but it doesn't mean you have to be 100% quiet about it. You can figure out what the balance that looks like for you, mm-hmm. and put that out there in a way that you feel comfortable. Because if you're doing it in a way that you don't feel comfortable, you feel like it's feeling forced. People know that you're just like team try too hard. But you can find that balance. Like, I've tried to find that balance. Like, you'll never see me posting about my personal life ever on social media, because, like, once you break up with one dude, like, you never want to have that on.
Erasing, never again.
Like, you'll see it whenever I meet the dude and, like, we get married. Like, you'll see a photo. Till then,
never.
But, like, you know, if we go somewhere interesting, we'll take a picture of that. Mm-hmm. If we win an award, I want to post about that. Mm-hmm. If I do something really unusual and crazy, like, I'm going to do that. Like, I did a Spartan race right before the pandemic hit, which blew my mind. Which, what I think about now, how I did not get COVID, means I am blessed and highly favored, because it was
blood of Jesus.
Like, it was
how many people?
Like, and we're all
huddled,
corralled together. We're climbing up mountains. We're all in the dirt. We're crawling over stuff. I do not know how it is. This is February 2020. It was the week before I turned 40. Mm-hmm. And, like, and I remember posting about it. People were like, you did what? Mm. And I was like, one, they're a client. Two, I didn't realize I had signed up for that. Mm-hmm. I thought I was going to reserve, and then I got stuck and roped into it. And then I am a quitter. So I was like, mm-hmm. I'm just going to do this and, like, hope mm-hmm. I don't die. But it was also one of those things where it kind of showed, like, again, at a different level of accessibility, where it's like, okay, like, you know what Laura does, blah, 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 but, like, yeah, she does Spartan Race. All right. It's like, she's down mm-hmm. forever. Like, you know, you can show different parts of who you are by the way that you curate who you are on those panels mm-hmm. and on those conversations. And I think that's how you can put yourself in different rooms where you can connect with folks. And like I said, I met this awesome family who helped me with the race. So I had no idea what I was doing. I was terrified. Turned out this really amazing Hispanic family had been doing it as like a fun thing to do. And like, and so like they adopted me and like the whole race together, and it was amazing. And
so it was like a tradition for them.
It was totally, and it was the craziest thing ever. But like, that's the thing. Like, you know, you got the chatting with these folks, and like mm-hmm. had this nice conversation. And again, because I didn't let them, like, I don't know what I don't know. So like, help me. And so you ask me for help, and it's a key part of all this stuff. Like, you don't have to be everything to everybody. You're not gonna know every single thing, but you can be chill with folks. You can learn from the other folks, and you can sort of accept, like, when you're in those moments, go for it. What have you got to lose? Again, pandemic, like 900,000 people have passed away. There are thousands of people who have long haul symptoms. If you were blessed or not, you did not get it. Take this as an opportunity to like take a big step, take a bold step. Because, you know, like, go for it. You have to, there's no point, there's reason not to.
Agreed.
All right. That sounds like
very, very well said.
I'm signing up for this course. I'm going to encourage my three fellow podcast members to, you know, we can learn something. We can learn something together.
You can take the course and tell us. No, I'm just joking.
Oh, don't be frugal. Don't be frugal.
Oh, yeah.
I see how you is.
Mm-hmm. Right. Spend that 40. We spend that on beer in a day. More than that.
I should have asked because I was curious because she had the bottle of gin. Did you get that from Ryan Reynolds? Did you get it actually from
Ryan Reynolds? No, I'm not joking. I'm just joking. No, I'm not getting gin from Ryan Reynolds. Like, come on. The liquor store is.
Let me ask you this. Like,
I'm just kidding.
So I went to the liquor store. Although, wait, no.
So to be named as one of Essence Magazine's 36 podcasts, what does that look like? How do you know that you're in the running for that? Does someone contact you? Like, what?
I had no idea.
Damn.
A friend of mine was in the list, and I was like, oh, let me read it. Who else is in there? And I'm scrolling through, and I...
Oh, you had no idea from...
Oh.
At all.
they misspelled my name. So that's why I didn't know. But I have a Google alert with my name on it.
Pay for it.
But, like, I didn't... So my name was misspelled, so I didn't know. And so I reached, this is a connection thing. Like, I reached out to one of my amazing producers, Useful Essence, and I was like, hey, could you let them know that they misspelled my name?
That's right. Let's get that corrected.
And it was done in like 2 seconds. So I was like, see? but yeah, I mean, that was such a lovely and pleasant surprise. And like, but it also goes to doing the work of telling these different stories. Like, you know, it is a cornucopia of people who've been on that show. Like, I don't, just because I do 29 Days of Magic doesn't mean I don't interview white folks, for example, or white men, for example. I interview tons of those folks. And, you know, people come to me in all manner of ways as a result of coming on the podcast. Mm-hmm. And I invite you all here, gents, to come on the show as well. So we can do a little podcast exchange. And I can be on the other side of this, asking y'all the questions.
Yes. we love it. We love to get from behind the mic, per se. And do this. And we don't do it as often either. And we need to do more and really give our listeners and viewers a sense of, you know, what it is that we got going on, things that we want to embark on, things that we're heavily involved in and ready to, you know, do for 2022 and forward. I mean, we kind of had a conversation in 2018 in my backyard. It didn't just stem from in my backyard, but my son's 8th birthday. We were standing out back. Lou was here. I think, well, all of us were here at one point, but the whole idea of a podcast, conversation cipher happened just in the backyard or in the kitchen or around the kitchen island. And then it became more of it grew. It grew from there. So established in 2018 and we growing strong. So we can talk about that more. Let folks know. Exactly.
Let the people know. But yeah, so I mean, I sort of just validated that my hypothesis was right. That if you made a podcast that was about people in business telling their real stories without the hype and the foolishness of like, well, my daddy gave me a $5 3-cent start. And one of the reasons I think it works is that the first question I always ask is always the same 5 years into this is what was your first job? And the reason I ask that question is because I want people to remember how far they've come. Mm-hmm. And because once you do that, it automatically disarms people and they start thinking about like, well, damn. And it's fascinating because I'm always amazed how whatever first job people pick, so it could be paperboy, it could be their first job out of college.
Telemarketer, whatever.
Yeah, whatever they end up selecting as the thing they talk about always correlates to what they do now, which is fascinating because it's like there's something about like, oh, I worked at Gap and now I'm global head of sales at blah, blah, blah. Or like they were a babysitter and like, you know, they are a career coach. Like, it's so fascinating.
Wow.
What pops into their head as the first job and how it correlates to what they do now. And it could be like, I was a fry cook and I want nothing to do with anything regarding my food ever again. Like, but I learned how to deal with crazy people. And like, and now as I'm a VP of blah, 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 I know how to navigate people and like, I'm known for that kind of thing. It's so fascinating because I think oftentimes people assume that like you just snapped your fingers and you got to where you are.
Right, right.
And especially for folks like us. And so mm-hmm. when it's really important, or like you like someone just like magically opened the door and you just like glided your way through. Like, yeah, that's not how this works. Mm-hmm. And I think, or that it's like you're a 20-year overnight success. It's like, also, this takes work. Mm-hmm. Like, you are not going to magically make six figures the second you walk out of college. Mm-hmm. Like, you are going to have a road that is very, very windy, like my wallpaper. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And, like, you'll have stops and you'll have starts. And you will kind of figure it out in your own way. Mm-hmm. And that's something to be proud of, as opposed to like, oh, I don't know, I had all these different jobs where I jumped from jump to jump. Like, yeah, no, so what? You got to where you are. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. so letting people see that and see that honesty, especially when we're in the middle of the pandemic. And a big thing that has been the question that I've asked every single guest is like, what is your self-care routine? Mm-hmm. And especially for the men who come on the show, especially for the Black men who come on the show, it's mm-hmm. really important for them to share that. Because, you know, y'all do not take care of yourselves. Mm-hmm. Y'all don't sleep. Y'all don't rest. Y'all don't go to the doctor.
Right.
And so it's really important for folks to hear that and, mm-hmm. and internalize that and realize the importance of it. Because mm-hmm. Our health, our mental health is so important right now, especially mm-hmm. as we are 2 years into our panorama. Mm-hmm. And so letting people hear that over and over again, I think, is really key for folks. Yep. Because I think, again, what the misconception is of, like, you know, we can all be go, 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 and, like, that is just so not the case. Mm-hmm. I mean, I used to be one of them. Like, when we first started the business, our kind of tagline was relentless hustle. Like, we'd mm-hmm. go to four events a week. And not sleeping and blah, 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 blah. And when I think about that now, I'm like, oh my God, mm-hmm. why yeah, did yeah. I do that to myself?
Right.
Now I'm all about relentless rest. So I'm like, chill the hell out. Like, go to the spa. Like, I create a whole spa weekend experience that people now go to. Like, do that. Like, yes. Go sit by the jacuzzi and, like, put your feet in. Like, do not. Like, it is necessary, and again, this is especially for us, like, you know, take the affordable luxury, take the luxury, and go and do that. Because mm-hmm. if y'all do it for yourself, who's going to make it do it for you? So you've got to remember to let the importance of taking care of yourself, giving yourself some self-care, whatever that looks like, whether that's bike riding, whether that's sleeping, whether that's, you know, going mm-hmm. to buy them the newest pair of Jordans, I don't care. But, like, when you do something for yourself, and it is yours is so important to being able to put yourself in the best possible position for success in the future.
Yeah. Nice. As you said that, reminded me, you know, when you had made a post, I think, in LinkedIn about, you know, just kind of, you know, hitting the reset button, recharging. I don't know if that was, it might have been in 2021. I was trying to find it, but what did you do to kind of reset? What did you do to recharge, or what is self-care?
Yeah, I mean, I realized the importance of it because, like I said, I was home for the first time in 9 years, and I was mm-hmm, like, oh, mm-hmm. this apartment's really small. I was like, I've been there. I deliberately lived downtown close to the fucking bridge, so I could get in the airport, go to LaGuardia, and fly out wherever I could go. Like, that was my life. Mm-hmm. And so being home and cooking and doing a lot of stuff for a year was like, I got cooked as much as everyone could ever again. Mm-hmm. But, like, I think...
Well, like, HelloFresh or just, like, just from scratch? Or, like, did you pull out some cool recipes?
I did every box service you could think of. HelloFresh, Blue Apron, mm-hmm. Sunbasket, all the things.
Which one's your favorite? Not to give them a plug, but, like, when did you stick with any of them? Okay.
I mean,
That's ours in our house, too.
Yeah. But now I like am on that, like, I'm gonna cook. Oh, Jesus. I don't know how my mother did it for 20 odd years. I'm like, what?
All that cooking.
No. Oh my God. Two meals a day. Jesus. But Uber Eats and I have become very good friends. Let's put that
way. Yeah.
Back half of 2021, I was like, you know what? I'm done. I'm so mm-hmm. done. Yeah. But from a self care perspective, like, no, I, you know, I have a business coach who's phenomenal, and I'm a big advocate of getting a coach and getting a therapist, mm-hmm. Which was kind of two really important things for self-care. Like, you know, when the pandemic hit, And I was cutting all my expenses, and I told my coach, I can't afford this. And he's like, nope, I'm not charging y'all. Like, just keep coming, because, like, I know that everyone needs help right now. Yeah. And so that was, and
that's
so,
like, a blessing.
Bless him.
And so, really amazing blessing. And you know, I think having someone like him to talk to once a week to, like, talk through the things that were, like, freaking me out and terrifying me, because it was an awful period. It was like, you know, you work so hard for something, and then in an instant, it is all gone. Your entire industry just, like, blew up in front of your face. Yeah. And so that was extremely terrifying. And so having him to talk to weekly was a big aspect of my self-care, and I don't think I would have been here had it not been for having those conversations. I just was like, I don't know what to do. Like, I might have, like, gone to, like, a look at, like, Macy's or something. I don't know. But, like, right. Having him to, like, talk to about who I am. Like, there's I have this camera and I'll do a short plug. And it was, like, and, like, this comic called 125 Collection. They're a candle, black-owned capital. And, like, I have this really cool candle. And so it says, I mean, my feelings from her, and then I'm like, really, who the fuck I am? Sorry. But, like, I needed to see that. Right. I needed to see that. Because, like, I just, like, forgot who I was, because I was just like, this is just falling off a cliff. And so kind of having those, like, little affirmations and little things really came in really handy. And my coach recommended, like, go on vacation. And I'm like, I have a business. How about I go on vacation? He's like, there's a spa. Like, a friend of mine is working with, go to that for the weekend. And so by some miracle, I figured it out. We went to the spa. It's a place called Miraval Brochures, which is the most amazing place ever. And spent the weekend there. And I was like, oh, like, this is what it means to, like, breathe and rest. And, like, I'm not, like, a nature person. I'm a beach person. Like, I'm not walking through the woods. I'm a black person. What's wrong with you? But there I was, hiking in the Berkshires and, like, doing country road biking. I mean, I was like, who am I? What have I done with Laura? But yet it was the most clarity I'd had in a year. Mm-hmm. And I got to, like, just breathe and, like, got some dope massages, like, you know, had some good wine and, you know, just got to, like, recenter. And that was just really helpful for me. And so, like, as a result of that, like, I started doing these weekends at the spa, like, once a quarter now, and inviting more friends to come through to kind of do the same thing that I did, like, just reset and chill.
Right. Yeah. He said invite him. That's what I think that meant.
Let me know.
Next year, I think, is in late April. I'm looking at my dates now, but I will let y'all know.
Yep, it's you're not far. Weekend. I don't make that happen.
So because you create all these events for clients, right? Like, I can't only imagine, like, what does a team building event looks like within D-Flash? Like, what do you guys do, like, as a group, let's say pre-pandemic or even now virtually? Like, what do you guys do to, you know, to kind of create synergies or to just reconnect?
They go around
just D-Flash internally.
Well, virtually, we, like, send everybody, like, gift cards for dinner, and then just, like, sit and we sit and eat and shoot the stories and talk about, like, what the hell is going on, and you laugh about it. So I said, laughter is kind of the best medicine about all this stuff, and so, like, well, how can a holiday party this year was a virtual holiday party, and, like, same deal, like, you know, or everybody, like, wines and food, and then, like, just, like, recap the insane year and talk about, like, what was the one thing that you, like, oh my god, what have I done? And like it was just hilarious. It was, and, you know, I think that's the thing, like, honestly, laughter is kind of key for all this stuff.
Absolutely.
And, like, you know, lots of folks come up with the fact that I smile a bunch. Like, I do.
That's right.
And because it's not fake. I'm just, like, again, like, I'm...
Because I'm happy.
Well, because I'm super lucky to be here. So I'll give you a quick story. So the first night I came to America, I nearly died. And so grandmother had a coffee table, all glass. I was hyperactive 3-year-old. I took a header into the coffee table. Because, you know, little kids bounce off of stuff and, like, apparently don't feel things, apparently. I smacked my head directly into the table and, like, covered in blood. Didn't feel it. Like, fell asleep in my dad's arms. He didn't know what happened. So my mom came down and, like, saw him covered in blood. And, oh, my God! And, like, we'd been in America, like, 12 hours. So, like, welcome to the American healthcare system, which was terrifying. And go to the hospital and, like, they're, like, we don't know how it missed all of your eyes to, like, you know, not blind you, because it shattered all in front of my face. And it could have, like, easily cut my neck or whatever, but didn't. And oftentimes...
Miracle child.
Well, not so much a miracle, but, like, there's a reason to be here. And
yeah,
I think...
Yeah, reason to be here.
I, you know, when I've had those moments of, like, oh, what have I gotten myself into? I remember that, like, honestly... But for an inch here, an inch there, I might not be here. So you have to take be grateful for where you are at the moment. And you know, if you made it this far, just kind of keep putting one foot in front of the other because you'll figure it out. And I've tried as a leader to kind of give people the same sense of like, listen, you could be working anywhere, but if you're working with me at this particular moment in your life, like that's and I happen to be your boss at this particular moment. It's because we're sort of meant to have this connection at this moment. So, like, I don't want to take that for granted for you, and I hope you don't take it granted with me. We try to do the best we possibly can, and that's all you can really do.
Well, take a sip of your drink for that, because you've been talking and you have not had a chance to, like, oh, yes, you have had a chance to. Oh, I saw that volume, the level of that cup. Oh, yes, you have.
I've been drinking.
I have been graceful with my sips, though.
Yes. Well, I'm glad that we were able to, you know, hear and you were able to share your journey. I think that this is just one step, you know, closer to reconnecting to you, you know, virtually. Like I said, it's been some time, but I feel like it was just yesterday. We were standing in the same space. You were just as warm and welcoming. You were a great, great guest. And you've definitely been a driving force for me personally to continue in the podcasting and doing something that I think that I could transfer some of my knowledge, my skill, and my charisma into this, you know, into this industry. So, thank you.
All right.
Pleasure.
Any more questions?
I get flowers.
Absolutely.
We always get flowers.
I appreciate it so much, Jeff.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, you guys. I mean, you guys are doing a great job. I mean, I pop in and listen, and you all have great guests that come through, and it's great seeing black men doing their thing.
Yes,
appreciate that for sure.
Yeah, and we will have to put you on our invitation list of things that we have you know coming on in Delaware and surrounding.
What's up? States. What's next in 2022 for y'all?
Rob, you want to break the news? What do you know? You want to speak on it?
No, we're still working on things. Still ironing it out.
So I would say we're an area where we would like to really get into outside of what we've been doing is we formed in 2021. We formed Bruise and Banner Productions LLC. So it is more in the events space. We are trying to build the framework of what that looks like exactly, whether it be curating us small events that really pair well with beer experiences. But also we started a nonprofit chapter called, I'm about to screw Black the name up. Black and Brew Delaware. The president of Black and Brew Chicago, Mickey Bryant, she was a guest and came on and asked us to, you know, build a chapter or make a chapter here that is about diversity and inclusion in beer. So we are now championing directing that under our umbrella. So we want to create spaces that really in spaces that do not look like us, that isn't predominantly us, and make sure that, you know, we are welcome in these spaces. So 2021, we co-hosted our first beer festival here in Delaware. We were given that opportunity. So it really got our feet wet in what we want to do And we want to embark on some of those kind of more events now that we've gotten one, you know, under our belt.
So nice.
That gives you a little bit, little tease, little taste, you know.
Yeah, I mean,
Rob was being a little shy.
It's not a little shy. It's just more like it's still in the infancy stage.
You can give you little tidbits, right?
Yeah, sure.
Just a little nugget here.
Well,
that's fantastic. Mm-hmm. I mean, listen, the event person in me is like, go for it. Mm-hmm. Just do it in a way that has a dope vibe, and
yes,
and don't try and make it an event you want to go to.
Right.
Like, don't want anybody to tell you what you're supposed to do with this. Like, make it the event. If you weren't producing it, and you were a guest. Mm-hmm. What would you want to see, and what would you not want to see? So when you're building it, that's the thing to keep in mind. And then remember, and think of the events that you went to, which were like amazing, and the ones that sucked. Mm-hmm. And why did the ones that suck?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And remembering that, like, oh my god, the food, or the parking was trash, or like, you know, when you first got check in, it was really hard to get through the check in process because they like wanted a scan card or like a vaccine thing, or like whatever can you do to alleviate some of that.
Ease
stuff.
That. Yeah,
that's going to be key, especially now with COVID stuff, and depending on where you are and what the rules are going to be. Mm-hmm. How can you make that process as smooth as possible is going to be key to being successful for it.
Yeah.
And then but also, like, do not reinvent the wheel. Like,
true.
Good beer, good people, good times.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah. Like, so important. So important. Kind of all you need. Yeah. And capital. Don't forget that capital.
Look,
duh.
That's a given. Right. Right.
That's a given.
Yeah.
That's awesome. July, so yeah.
Yes. Yeah. But we can share more in the near future about that and how we can strategically align our schedules to share that information on the podcast.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Like I said, we share, mm-hmm. and. Mm-hmm. Want to do more of that. And so, like, when you guys come on, I want to hear all of the stuff.
All of the stuff.
Yes.
All right. Any more questions for Laura?
No, man. It's been a pleasure. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you very much.
I want to thank Laura Mignot for coming to the podcast.
Thanks for having me, gentlemen.
Yes.
Absolutely. We want to thank you for coming on. Before we go, we always like to know how people can find everyone on these social media, worldwide webs, things, and all these good things that they're into. So, Laura, how can people find you?
Sure. So, on social, you can find me personally at LMIGNO, so L Mignot on all social media. The Reset Podcast, it's at The Reset Podcast. Get that the in there, because there are other Reset Podcasts which are not as good as this one.
Right.
Absolutely. You need the The there. And like, DMs are always open. Like I said, I've always had a conversation with folks. I try and make myself as successful as I possibly can. And I'm an easy one to find.
Yes, you are.
So much. Delighted to have a conversation, and you guys have been great.
It was awesome. Awesome, for sure. Yeah,
appreciate you.
Dev?
Well, for, as Lou would say, for all your beer needs, you can find Dev Drinks Brew Craft Brew on Instagram. And if you need to email me, devdrinkscraftbrew@bruisingbanter.com.
There it is. Lou?
My name is Lou Belgium. I'm on them Instagrams.
And you can find Bruising Banter Podcast on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Bruising Banter Podcast. You can also listen to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, anywhere you listen to podcasts. You can say, hey, Alexa, play Bruising Banter, because we are on Amazon Music as well. Shout out to Dev. He beat me to it. You can find him at IAM302.
There it is. He's on it.
He's on it.
Right. He couldn't be here today, but he is listening.
Yeah, there you go. And you can find me, Rob G. There it is, Rob State Bruising. Beep, beep, beep. Right there. You can also go to www.bruisingbanter.com if you want to get merch or find out all the platforms I just mentioned that we are on. You can listen directly from the website as well. This has been episode 150. Until next time, peace.
Have a good week, everyone.
Let's hear this outro music.